probably have to ask the question again. Are there any musicians who that you know who would play guaguancó, who might also play salsa, who might also play for Santeria rituals? I mean, is there that crossover?
Yeah,
there is. There's a lot of people who do that, plays into all this type of music. So salsa would be something like for a nightclub, and guaguancó would be something to get together. And Santeria is nothing out of, it's nothing bad, just it's something to get happy at it. It's a ritual they had like in Africa or something. If they make a, they would give something to their god and just pray to make it happen. But they do that here a lot, and in Puerto Rico it's just try to keep the primitive things going on. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people who play all this type of music and real good at it.
Are there any members of your band who would do that, who would also play in one of these other kinds of music? Or all of your band members?
You just got checked out on...
I play some of these other things. And we plan to get somebody into a band, so the percussionist, which he does, Rigo,
mm-hmm.
he does this a lot, and he's real good at it. And
has several bata. Really experienced at that.
I just mean,
why don't you tell him about the thing you were talking to me about the having to get like okay to be able, you know, by those people to be able to use the bata.
Oh yeah, there's some if you want it, if you're gonna get like a bata drums and you want it, so you can use the bata drums either in the jazz, like Iraqueres for example, it's a Cuban band. They use the bata drums into the salsa and jazz, and the sound is terrific. If you, bata is a, like a, it's a gifted
it's
instrument.
It's a ceremonial instrument.
It's a ceremonial instrument.
So
if
like
you buy it,
thing.
If you buy a brand new, you just go ahead and play it. But if you buy one used, you may be able to get permission from this guy, which they call Babalao or sometimes main guy into the religions, get permission into playing. Because you never know what they have been playing with. And the best thing is just buy a new.
It's consecrated, right?
It's a sacred.
Holy.
It has a blessing.
It's a sacred for their religion.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If they've been playing into it, if they have done any kind of work to it.
Yeah.
But if it's brand new, just know what to play, you know. Yeah,
yeah,
you can. Because
you can't just fool around with it and so on. It's there.
Yeah, either every saint, you know, like as a saint in their
mm-hmm.
religion has a different playing in the drums, and you can't get a mixture.
Mm-hmm.
They say they get mad.
Each saint has a different rhythm or a different manner.
Saint, different part in the play for them.
So maybe if you got a bata drum that had been used for a certain saint and you happened to play a rhythm that was like some one for a different saint.
Nothing will happen.
No, what he means is that there are specific rhythms, and if you mix them up and by just fooling around, that's... It's fooling with the tradition of what it's supposed to be.
There's any people in the audience who knows.
Yeah, it's not that anything is, you know.
No, nothing's
going
to happen to us.
It's
no.
just
no.
it's just that the people that know
would be offended.
Yeah.
They would be offended.
Yeah,
nothing happens, you know. But if they know what they're hearing, they might be offended.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing with the drums, because you're not respecting their instruments.
Mm-hmm. But you can take one that's never been used in a religious ceremony.
Oh yeah, either one. In either case, you still gotta learn. You gotta know what to play. You know.
Is it used as a solo instrument, or is it?
No, it's combined.
Combined. So it may never stand out alone.
It does stand by itself, but they play like.
It's a real distinctive sound.
Yeah, it's a real weird shape. Nice.
Shaped like an hourglass with a real small head on one side and a fairly large one with the other, with a, you know, this kind of a thing, and it has a real distinctive penetrating quality. It's easy to see when you listen to one how it could be a sacred instrument. It's a real unusual sound, eerie almost, you know, has a real penetrating quality.
Beautiful sound.
You were mentioning that your band sometimes plays for private parties. I was wondering, do you ever play for traditional celebrations like Fiesta de Quince?
That's what's considered private parties in here. Like a wedding or
they call them municipios, are one of the more common ones, the get-togethers of people from a given municipality or province. In Cuba, we'll have a, they have societies and organizations here, and they'll have a get-together and see their all their friends and relatives from.
Well, what you call the fiesta de quinces and the wedding and everything.
What kind of music do? What kind of music would you play at a quince?
Well, the same type of music we play in a nightclub. It'd be the same.
With the addition of the fact that they inevitably want us to play traditional music, if they get kind of fairly loaded and toward the end of the thing they want
it's
a conga and you know or they want a paso doble because they want to you know do their Spanish
they say,
thing.
Well, if we pay the band, might as well we can demand from them.
Right.
Are there any kinds of dances that that always would be played at a quince, for example?
Oh yeah, that would be like a ballad, you know. How do you say it in English?
What's it? Ballad?
Ballads, you know, it's like a waltz.
Waltz.
Oh,
right.
Waltz, yeah, waltz.
That is a traditional thing that you,
oh, yeah.
You dance that in a fiesta de quince. That's very traditional. It's the father dances with his daughter. This DJ, you know, this jock is the one who produces. Sometimes if he gets a record that is so scratched, you can, it's funny. It's funny. It is funny to go to these places, you know. They spend so much money on these fiesta and quinces. We're talking about thousands of dollars.
What's the most fantastic one you ever went to?
I went to one which we play. He wasn't in the band yet. And this girl came out of a swinging drums out of it. Someone like, and we were freaked out. What is this? I mean, it was like a trapeze, you know? And she was in, like, sitting there on a, you know, was a half a moon, you know? With a combination of Brazilian instruments and Latin, all type of Latin equipment. It was weird. Then bubbles sang. They took some real horses into the place, and it's, it was amazing. We were laughing. They were hanging out the whole band.
And you were playing?
No, we weren't playing. They had this DJ playing the music, you know. We just watching this show. It was a show. I thought we were in Las Vegas or something.
They wouldn't have something like that in Cuba?
They used to have it, but not as fancy as it's here. Now, this time, you know, now today, 1981, it's not as much as it used to be like in the middle of the 70s, late of the 70s. I don't know if it's the inflation of the country or whatever it is, but right now it's more up to level.
I have an observation about that. It is the kind of phenomenon that creates that kind of thing. In my, what I've seen of the culture is the same thing that the Jewish people coming out of World War II, surviving World War II, the parents, it's not, because it isn't the children, it isn't the girl, the 15-year-old girl that wants this huge thing, it's her father or the family. And inevitably what it amounts to is, I've come to this country and I've made it, and you're going to have everything you want, you know, and I give this to you, you know, as an expression of my, you know, success, and this, the good life that we're having, you know, in the United States. And this is, and it would, that would just about coincide with the people who, in the mid-70s, I think that more is more important than inflation as far as a reason for why it would have been big then. They'd been here for 5, 6, 8 years, long enough to get established in business and get a profession really going. And so about that time you have these extravaganzas, you know, going on. Whereas now, you literally, there's a group, Conjunto Universal, one of our competitors, that was very famous at that time, was the biggest band back then. It was before I came to Miami, but from what I understand, they used to play those things, and it was a huge, they could work 3 or 4 or 5 times a week just doing quinces, and now it's not that way at all.
No, yeah. It is.
So
it's a lot more subdued.
Both in the flamboyancy and also the frequency, it's just not as big a deal.
More
now.
Into
you don't,
family now than
rather than hiring a band and
before it used to be like
a
showing the scale into. Introducing her into society, you know, it's something big in every newspapers, and now it's they do it more up to level. I still would take her picture in the newspapers, and but it's not as fancy unless you have a lot of money.
Unless you have a lot of money.
There's a lot of people, a lot of money here.
Does your band ever also play for comparsas dancers or the street dancing kinds of things? Does that even happen?
That's what I say, street festival, but that's on the stage. That's it. We don't move from there.
So there aren't that. There isn't that kind of dancing as
just
spontaneously.
Yeah, it's not.
It's more like a show thing, a folkloric kind of a remembering thing, much like we have.
It's only happening like once or twice a year.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. There was one other thing. Are there any older Cuban musicians, like of your, say, our parents' generation, that are around in Miami who play, who might play the conga drums or the bongos?
Not the conga drums, but not in Miami. All over the world, all over the United States, they are. Like, for example, Santana. You know the group Santana. They have two great percussionists. One is Oreste Vilato, which is the timbale players. He's in, I don't know what age he's got, he's mid-30s something. And they got Armando Peraza, which is a quite older guy, used to play Mongo Santa Maria jazz player. They used to play a lot of jazz, and this guy is, forget it, the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the greatest on percussion. They're so good.
But he's not here in Miami.
No, they come in and out. Miami, what we can relate to the old Cuban musician would be is a bass player named Cachao, which is
did a lot of recording in Cuba before he came.
He has his own group, and he was real big.
How does he spell his name?
Cachao, C-A-C-H-A-O. It's a weird name.
Yeah,
that's just like a nickname to it. I forgot his real name.
Something along that line, just one question. I came here a couple of years ago and I interviewed a woman who was a singer in a folkloric group in Cuba, almost like a Peter, Paul, and Mary type folk group in Cuba, and she's living in Miami now, and she'd done some recording here, and I can't remember her name.
But we have, I don't know who she might be, but we have a lot of those.
Yeah. Just wondering, because she did.
What's the girl's name that was part of a family? You know what I'm talking about? Who was singing at the Lions Lounge or something? And like,
I don't remember.
No. So it was like a family. It was like the singing. The Swiss family. What? No. What is it? Singing.
The trap family
or something. From Cuba, she was here. Oliva was telling me about that.
I don't know.
She's got a bunch of records up at Miami Sound, sitting up there. That kind of thing. It's no different than, you know, I mean, it's the same kind of story.
Mm-hmm. What are the favorite? Are there any really popular salsa pieces in Miami right now? Like, if you had to say what kinds of things people request a lot for you to play.
Be a difference right now. They're requesting a lot of modern things, more like our type of music, and a lot of charangas, which includes violins and flute. That's what they're requesting. Big names.
The pieces you play, are they charts? Are they charted where you can repeat them?
Mm-hmm.
Are they all basically spontaneous within certain sections where you'll never can repeat the same piece, like a piece of jazz? It's always unique every time you play. Are all the pieces you do like at the club that way?
They're just like jazz in the sense that we have a head. There's a head to the arrangement, but the stuff in between going in and going out is...
You've got the chord changes and you've got some of the beginning and ending.
Right.
So you're not dealing with a piece like on the top 40... the number one song, it's not a thing that you can play over and over again. People say, oh, let's play that particular song. It's not that way, is it?
Mm-hmm. Well, it is in the sense that what the song is recognizable for is the lyrics and the melody, you know, basically. And that's part of the chart. When you have when you've got a 10-piece band and four brass and so on, everything is written and we're reading all the time. The thing that is the improvised part is only that Montuno. And indeed, as we go, you know, from week to week and month to month, things change slightly. The length of the sections and what the singer is singing changes, and where I put the solos and who's playing solos and so on changes. But the basic form of the tune is pretty much the same. So it's repeatable within certain...
But it's not locked down like a particular song.
Right. This is one of the reasons. There's a real correlation here, too, between disco, which Miami has been the last stronghold of disco in the United States. There's a strong correlation in that, in the sense that disco is basically a rhythmic dance music that just goes on and on and on, and it's not... It has, very similar to Latin music, it has mambos, in a sense, in the brass will come in and play a little while, the singer will sing a little while, and then they'll combine the two, and then they'll do something else, and so on, to keep the interest going. It's the same kind of thing as Latin music. Besides the fact that Latin people, one of their hallmarks is the fact that they love to dance, party and dance, you know, particularly dance, they're real important. Those two things have the fact that it is a lot like the music that they're used to, and the fact that they are a dancing people, has served to make it, you know, a real popular music for them. But it's like disco in the sense that it has that open section. You have a song, Donna Summers may sing a song, and then the thing goes on for half an hour, you know, and then they close it off somehow. And that's very much like what we're into. Depending upon the interest of the people, the mood of the dance, what's going on, you know, make the music happen there. So it's repeatable in a sense, but it's not repeatable like I Left My Heart in San Francisco is repeatable, you know. That is just a song, you know.
What is the type of dancing that they were doing last night? Is there a particular name for when salsa is being played? Is it just called salsa dancing, or
I've heard it called that. There may be a typical name for it, or a...
There's a, I don't know, how can I say it? There's a dance to it, which is something typical. I don't know the name of it. That you dance in clubbing, you know. But right now, updates, people dance however they please, you know. It's weird.
You will see on the dance floor, as you did last night, when there's a disco tune on, the dance changes entirely, and whenever it's a Latin thing, they're all doing more or less the same thing.
Oh, it's very... That's why I thought maybe it had a name, because to me it looked similar to a kind of a two-step, but a lot of behind moving.
Uh-huh. Right.
There's
a
lot of
movement. As Raul said, they're dancing with clave. They're not... As opposed to the music, salsa music, and all of Latin music, is based in on 4-4, just straight ahead 4-4 time. The difference is that it goes in two-bar phrases instead of in one-bar phrase like the rest of Western music does. And that two bars, you have a bar of superimposed half-note triplet over one bar, and then a bar of straight four. And so in order for people to maintain their equilibrium when dancing three against four, you know, there's a lot of... they suspend their motion on one side, and the best way to do that is by moving your hips up, you know, holding it, and then going in. And doing it again. It's a kind of a lilt thing. That's where you get that, when they're dancing in clave, that lilt, that's what it comes from.
That's real good dancers.
Some of them were last night.
Yeah.
Cool.
So
that's called dancing in clave?
Well, clave is the rhythm that the music is based on.
Right.
And we say you play in clave, you sing in clave, you dance in clave, meaning you dance with the rhythm, as opposed to, if an American person unschooled in Latin music was to go out and dance a straight four, they would stick out like a sore thumb. Head would be up when everybody else is down, very obviously. So it's definitely something you're either with the rhythm or you're, you know, against it. It's that... That kind of a feeling.
Imagine, it's to Latin music, salsa music, many, many people, many couples, they don't dance because they would, like Keith said, they would stick up like... Yeah, you don't know what you're doing. What you're doing there?
And it's quite obvious.
So what they do is they just sit around and they wait for a slow tune. And they just get into the dance floor because everybody's there hugging each other, you know. But when it comes back to the movement, well, so this girl's picked out to go out with this guy. Spend the whole night dancing. It's turned out to be that guy doesn't know how to dance. That might dance four songs the whole night.
because the guy has no feeling whatsoever what's going on.
Has to be. It's like ballroom dancing in the sense that you either know what you're doing. I mean, it's really, you really should have to know what you're doing to be able to do it. Otherwise,
some people they get there and they don't care. You know, they just like to have fun and they don't care if you say, oh, yeah, that guy doesn't mind. You know,
are the people in the band good dancers as well, or?
We say what, maybe two or three.
Some are, some aren't. Well, but keep in mind the of our combinations of the four Americans, I can more or less dance, but more or less. But I don't like to that much.
What is it?
No, that's true. You know how to dance. But really, you and Nelson.
One is a break.
He's a fine dancer.
This is a great dancer. The little guy, we call him the midget. This is a small guy.
Timbalero plays batería.
He was also playing the tambora.
Tambora, the drum set. And the guy is real good dancing.
Yeah, he's really got the rhythm.
Yeah, he's a great dancer.
It's not true. You just have to be black to have good rhythm.
Oh, no.
However, I think the black
it helps. Nice.
It helps.
They do good dance nice.
That's
interesting, something.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'd like to say now, I don't know if this is appropriate for your purposes, but I'd like to say that's one of my fascinations with the Latin people, is that because they are a mixture of Spanish European blood and Afro African blood, they're a beautiful, real beautiful people, and they're beautiful not only the complexion but just the way women and men alike. They're, you know, it's a real stunning. It's easy to see where their romantic image comes from, you know, because they're not pasty like we are, you know. And you know what I mean. It's it's like the image, and I know that whatever it depends on your perspective, but sun, you know, our image is tanned and dark complected, and you know, tanned is the image of health and beauty, the beautiful people in America, and that is the Latin people. They spend a half an hour in the sun, and you know, they look like we do after the whole summer, you know.
Take it right there. That's true. But if we go, I go to the beach, I get dark. If he goes, he gets red.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
That's true.
One thing I'd like to ask you, Raul, which is sort of a change of subject. If you had to, I know that probably, well, neither of you guys are married yet, right? Or
I am.
You are, but you're not.
Yeah, I'm not.
If you do get married and have children, are there any musical traditions that you would feel that you would want to pass along to your children as part of Cuban, of feeling Cuban or knowing that you're from Cuban descent?
I would like to enforce something on my children so they won't lie of their own, you know. More or less, I would teach them, I would show them our music and our traditions. If later on they want to switch or they want to change, it's up to them. I wouldn't like to enforce something that later on say, oh, my dad forced me to do this. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like that.
But are there any things that you would like for them to know?
I would like to know the culture, you know, the backgrounds and everything. The way that my parents live, my grandparents, whatever, and what I'm living right now, you know. So we're going to be talking about when he may be older, maybe like, what, 20 years from now, mm-hmm. 15 years from now. So we're going to be in a different era. We're going to be in a different time. So I don't know how are we going to be in the 1900s, 1993, 1995.
Right, so Miami has undergone, you know, as I'm sure you're well aware, in the last 5 years, let alone the last 10, a tremendous change. And you know, 10 years from now, this, the kind of culture we're talking about, I guess that's why you're doing this, is that it's going to disappear. It's going to be completely integrated, just as much as the Polish culture in, you know, New York and Chicago has integrated. You know,
Well, we're very interested in finding out what kinds of traditions people have brought with them and what kinds of things are still continuing in this new culture and what the acculturation is, you know, where people assimilate a new tradition or substitute one or just put it alongside of something that they already had with them when they came. So that's why this whole thing with salsa is interesting, because it combines elements from at least two, maybe three or four different cultures, and some of these other traditions are like
that.
To
put it in perspective, what you're looking at here, however, you should keep in mind is, and I'm sure you have interviewed and will continue to interview some more people who are into more folkloric pursuits. We are a commercial organization, you know,
right.
And we love the music and it has some really great things, but we look at it from our point of view and we're trying to do a given thing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, our main thing is not to preserve the thing, is to, you know, to, because the music is fascinating and for other reasons and for commercial reasons, you know, we're trying to take
anyway,
it.
Anyway, it will be preserved, you know, for all the records, what we do, the recordings,
mm-hmm.
and all the bands, what they've been doing. See, that's one thing that we got to know Latin music for the 1940s and 1930s is what these people have done, the recording they have done at that time. You know, we heard it now and we did new things to it. Maybe 20, 30 years from now, they listen to what we have done now and maybe do something different.
So did the band, people in the band do a lot of listening to the records from the older, bands?
Not everyone, but some of them do.
We had, up until recently, we had a trumpet player who, another member of the band that we've changed, that was a Cuban guy, the guy that plays second trumpet to me, who we've changed for this American guy. He was very much into the old music, and he has let me, that's how I learned a lot of what I know about it. There are a lot of people who are very, Elias, into conjunto, typical, real, straight ahead, two trumpets and a small band, conga and bongo, and campana, a singer, and bass and piano. That's
a lot of trumpets.
You know, a lot of trumpets. Well, he's a powerful trumpet player, let me tell you. But there are a lot of people that are real into that. They call it, you know, típica, you know, real típica kind of a sound, which Miami is an interesting thing, because you'll find more of that in parts of New York. We have a thing in Miami that we refer to as the Miami sound, that is almost a 50-50 blend of Latin and American rock. And the bands that are the most popular here, and the music that is most listened to, that the radio stations most play, is from that. Chacaré, Alma, Clouds, Friends, new group called Friends, are the proponents of that music. We're trying to do something different yet by taking some of the typical elements, because we come out of that bag. We used to be called Conjunto Salsa 76. And we're trying to come into that and have a marriage with it, but be able to play típica or more or less típica. You can't play really típica with a four-piece brass section with trombone and various sax, because it's not typical. But as much as we can with the typical instrumentation, and then be able to cross over and do some things in the Miami sound, which is in Spanish and Latin flavored, but it's basically American rock in other ways. You know, when they call it salsa, it's like, you know, it's not really salsa.
No, it's
not really salsa típica.
No,
it's something else. Yeah, it's already a hybrid, and we call it the Miami sound. There, some of the people from New York. There's a record that Willie Colon has just recently released called Fantasma that is taking some of those elements and incorporating them up there, which they've been doing out here for 5-10 years, and just recently it's catching on, and it's a good thing that you're doing this now, because the chances are that in the next 5 years it's going to die that much more. It'll be that much more integrated, because the, you know, get down to where it's the historical societies and the folkloric groups that meet regularly that are the preservers of the tradition, and it'll be otherwise just kind of rock, jazz, Latin fusion, you know, is all that'll be going on.
All the singers, the lead singers that play mainly salsa music straight ahead without any mixtures whatsoever, it's gonna get old.
Mm-hmm.
As new kids are coming along, they can sing as well in Spanish as in English.
So these other ones are considered conservative then, the people
the
that try to play just
typical
salsa.
I think limited is a better word than conservative. Some people really like that, and I mean there are parties that we have played where that people just go bananas when you play that style of thing. You can see it in the crowd. We play something like Amor Paque that's real típica, and people just really love it. And in other places, Latin Fiesta is a good example. You play that kind of stuff and they sit down.
For example, Alberto Santiago, that guy sings, and people listen to him because the guy is crazy.
And that's pretty, and he's typical. But let me say this, the crowd at Latin Fiesta that is there now
is for him.
They're the people that came to hear that kind of music. And
so like a week from now when he's gone, it won't be the same.
Hopefully he'll still be here in a week from now. We're supposed to have a 4-week engagement and possibly a 4-week extension, we're hoping. If everything goes like it did last night, I think we will.
Today he's going to be back.
But it's true that, for instance, the group Clouds, which is probably the hottest group in town right now, they're out of town, but when their home is the Latin Fiesta when they're in town, that crowd, I dare say that there were a dozen people from their crowd that was there last night. It's just a whole different thing. The disco, for instance, they played a few disco songs last night, but a lot of salsa.
This guy is, the name he has, Alberto Santiago, all by himself, has come a long way.
Is he like a Perry Como or somebody like that?
Quite so. As a matter of fact, that might even be a good example. Johnny Pacheco is more like Frank Sinatra in the sense that he's a household word, whereas Adalberto you pick up any record by the Fania All-Stars and he's doing coro or any of these other singers.
Playback coro means he's a background vocalist.
Background vocal. So he does a lot of that. He has 4 or 5 solo records out over the last 10 or 15 years.
No,
or maybe
he has more than that.
Oh, really?
Solo albums is out of place.